This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
All right, let's go to the hotline right now. And on the line is Odyssey Sports NBA insider Danny Green. If you're a fan of the NBA, make sure to check out his podcast, Inside the Green Room with Danny Green. Listen to Inside the Green Room with Danny Green on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast. Danny, how are you? We always appreciate you joining the show. You're a good man, my friend. Thank you.
What's happening, Danny?
I'm great. Thanks for having me, man. I always appreciate you guys having me on.
Well, it's always good stuff. All right, so let me just ask you, do you like the play-in tournament? Because we're sitting here. I know the Cavs got knocked out early. What was it, 2-3 years ago? I can't even remember. They were in the play-in tournament. I was like, this sucks, because they would have made the playoffs normally, but they didn't. And so now we're just sitting around waiting for the Cavs to get the winner of this Miami game tomorrow night, Miami-Atlanta. Your thoughts on the play-in tournament?
I mean, it was just a couple years ago. Everybody was raving about it, how great it was. It was exciting. It still is exciting for the fans, part of it. I just don't think it's as exciting when the teams are so far out from, I guess, contention or in playoff run, like 9 and 10. Some of them should not be rewarded if they're that many games behind.
And should you be at least 500? That's what I kept saying. I'm like, these teams should be at least 500 to get in the play-in tournament.
Yeah, I don't know what the stipulations need to be, but yes, if you're – because now teams always have hope if they're in a 10 seed. And it's like, that shouldn't be the thing. But, I mean, we love seeing this. I like the Golden State-Memphis game was great. See who gets the 7-8 seed, which is cool. 9-10 seeds, I don't know if people are that excited about it. I mean, Mavs played good yesterday. But, some teams that don't deserve to be or have the hope to be in the playoffs when they're that far behind.
That's my thing with it, is we've played 82 games, and now we're trying to decide somebody's playoff hopes in one or maybe two games if you happen to drop one and you're one of the higher seeds. Like, why are we playing 82 games to figure this out in two games or one game for a chunk of these? Like, I know it's TV. I know it's so that people can make more money, but it's like, what are we doing here?
Yeah. I mean, everything is a money play, right? So, but I said just a couple years ago, everybody was excited about it. And now I think it's because some of the teams that are in it, they're not as exciting to watch, or people don't really care to see them in the playoffs. But there was a time where people wanted to see Sacramento play. They were balling. There was a time where, Miami, Chicago, they played pretty good basketball for a certain amount of stretch of time. It's just that they said they were so far out of the race for most people. They're like, they don't think they deserve to have that chance. But, I mean, they may change things. We'll see. But end of the day, I think fans like to watch it, and it does generate a lot of revenue, and it'll probably continue until that turns.
Have you ever had a week off leading into a playoff game, Danny? And if so, what do you do to stay fresh?
Yeah, that's we did, actually. Not many times. It wasn't often. But when I was playing, they kind of toward the end of it, they started extending that rest time. They didn't have the plane when I was playing, really. I think that's fairly new. But we got a chance to actually practice. We got a chance to rest a couple of days, because the one seed would get like a bye or a couple of days extra. But we would practice. We would get a day's rest or two. We'd get a couple practices in. And then you'd wait for your I guess, to see who your opponent was if you were locked in. Because most 1 and 2 seeds are kind of locked in early, and they clinch playoff berth. The last seedings, you have to wait till the last regular season game to find that out. So we would just try to prepare for who we thought was the potential challenge, and then get some practice and rest days in.
Is there a better matchup for the Cavaliers going into Sunday? Is it Miami? Is it Atlanta? And should it really matter when you're the number one seed?
It shouldn't matter, but if I mean, I guess if you're hoping for a matchup that's better fit, it'd probably be Atlanta. Because I don't know if they have the same amount of bigs or bigs that can match up with Jared and Evan. You know, Bam is a very good big, protect the rim, and they got Khalil Ware. So those two guys are pretty solid. But you would want an advantage somewhere, right? I mean, you have advantages regardless, but you probably want more of an advantage at the big spot if you're Cleveland. I would try to go for Atlanta.
Danny, Kenny Atkinson had a great year here, especially for a first year.
Unbelievable,
Cleveland. Sure to be coach of the year. At least he is in Cleveland. He wouldn't lose any votes here. How does he become a better coach in the playoffs, or is a better coach just a guy that's been consistent throughout the regular season and carries that into the playoffs?
Just keep doing what he's doing. I mean, I want to say he's better. I never played for Kenny, so I don't know how he coaches. So it's going to be interesting to see if he can prove people that, it's not just a fluke, because that's everything with any young team, right? It's to prove that we belong and that we're good enough to do it. We're not just a regular season team, so nobody's going to believe in you until you do it. So if they can get to the Eastern Conference Finals, that'll pretty much solidify him as, he should be coach of the year regardless, but that'll solidify him as a great coach that, is proven for the job and that can get them to win. Because there's only one acceptable loss for you guys, right? And that's to Boston.
Yeah.
So if he can get to that space, then, he'll have proven that he's capable enough. And then he said it's only going to take some time before you guys can beat Boston. Obviously things change in the summertime, and hopefully you guys keep the same group together. But, and if you can even beat Boston, then he'll definitely prove that he's worthy.
Yeah, you don't want the bar for next year. You beat Boston and win the NBA title. You don't want to be like David Blatt, got him to the finals, and then they were in first place and they fired
him.
That's
kind of crazy. I mean, that's the job, right? A lot of them get hired to get fired, and that's why I'm not in coaching.
It's the smartest move you can make, man.
Danny, did you ever walk out of a huddle, though, during a playoff game where, you play for some pretty good coaches, where you walked out of there and you're like, man, he just won us the game. What a great call that was on the play. Like that moment in a playoff game where you know the coach is a difference.
Yes. Many a moments. Obviously in San Antonio with Pop.
Yeah.
We also had the players, but just the play calls that he made, the adjustments he made defensively, we just knew, if we executed what he was telling us to do, that we had a really good chance to win, and a lot of times we did. There was no doubt in it. So a lot of times with Pop, for sure. And then, of course, other coaching.
What happens in a locker room when a coach gets fired?
That's a good question. I don't know, because I've been lucky to never be a part of that.
Wow.
Are you serious? You went your whole career without that? Gosh, you did play for good coaches.
So I was with Pop most of my career. Then I had Nick Nurse, who was his first year. So I've been a part of coaches getting their first year with that organization. Doc was his first year in Philly before I got there. Nick Nurse's first year in Toronto when they fired Dwayne Casey. But I had Frank Vogel, who also, I believe, was a new hire before I got there. There were new hires, but I wasn't there when the original coach was there. So I was with Taylor Jenkinson for a brief moment, and then I was with JB Bickerstaff before, wasn't there for but just a short time. But then back in Philly with Nick Nurse, I never was with the group when the coach got fired, luckily.
Gosh, you did play for a bunch of good coaches. Yeah, that'll do it. Yeah.
Yeah, a lot of them fired after. So Doc got fired after I left. Frank Vogel got fired after I left. A lot of them got fired after Taylor Jenkins just recently this year. JB Bickerstaff got fired right after I left. A lot of them were new and got fired after I left, so I never was a part of that, internal situation. But I could imagine that I can't imagine because I don't know what that's like having a leader like a Taylor Jenkins, like a Mike Malone, and the next day they're not there anymore, and we got the interim or assistant coach coaching us now. But I always know that's a trap game for the opposing team. Anytime we went into a situation or a team where a coach got fired, we're like, damn, this is going to be a tough one because the team usually gets hot and goes on a streak and usually plays well. So that's always the game that we didn't like to play so much.
Hey, Danny, I want to ask you an off-the-wall question just because we got a couple minutes. You played quarterback in high school, right? You can go to North Carolina and play basketball. I mean, I think that'd be a no-brainer. But was there any point in your football career that you thought, hey, maybe football might be for me?
Yeah, actually, it was my – I wouldn't say it was my number one sport, but it was my two main sports. And there was a time where I did like football more than basketball. And I was pretty good at it. I was pretty good at it, my dad, but he kind of pushed me. It's like, you know, it's indoor sport, you know, longer careers, better for the brain. You know, he kind of pushed me that way. But, yeah, I think I could have played college football. And I actually thought about doing both. But, yeah, I could have probably went to school to play football. But I don't know if I went to the NFL.
Mm-hmm. You could have gone Charlie Ward. That would have been fun. That would have been real fun to watch.
Yeah, it could have been interesting, man. But so that, yeah, I think I was athletic enough and I was smart enough to, you know, figure out QB is more of his IQ position, right? You don't have to be as physically fit as you can see. Some of the greatest in the world weren't the most physically fit at the position. It's kind of like in baseball. Not everybody has to be super athletic. You just have to be good at your position. So it was really reading defenses, calling out plays. Obviously, you're able to throw, so I could throw. But yes, I said, I don't know if I would have made it to the next level in NFL, but I think I could have played in college.
So I just find it fascinating that, you know, we talk about multi-sport athletes and how important it is for high school kids to not just kind of key in, or even young kids to key in on one sport.
It definitely helped with other things, you know, like even younger, I did track because I was not the fastest. I had to work at a lot of my athleticism had to be worked on. So I had to learn how to jump, high jump and triple jump. I learned to run faster, so I did track and soccer, try to work on my footwork, because most kids, we grow, but it's hard to keep the coordination, right? So
right.
To keep your foot speed right, to get your reflexes. So defensively, all those things came into play with helping me be able to react, you know, read and react and have my footwork down. So, yes, I think it's very important for kids to have multiple sports in their – and not saying they have to be main sports, but – they have to be able to, you know, experience multiple sports, be able to hone in on the main sport, you know.
Danny, awesome stuff. As always, we love talking to you. Look forward to talking to you once the Cavs start to get into some action here. Just
same.
Break down some
yeah,
games.
Yeah, we're going to have the Man Weekly to help us break down what the Cavs are doing, how they can win, all that kind of good stuff. So looking forward to it, Danny.
Yeah, I can't wait, man. I appreciate you guys. It's been a lot of fun. So
thank
you,
Danny. Danny,
week.
I know you said – Danny said you don't. You're glad you're not a coach, but you sounded like one there at the end talking to the kids. So I'd let you coach my kid. How's that sound?
I appreciate that. Maybe I said I might do Little League, but even then, the parents these days, man, I don't know if I can handle them. It's a lot of pressure these days being a coach. But yeah, looking forward to it. Good luck this week, man. Looking forward to talking to you guys next week and watching these games. You know, I'm excited for the playoffs. This is the time we've been waiting for. You know, a lot of times we just want to simulate to get to the end of the year, and now we're here. So.
Danny, as always, thank you. Appreciate you big time.
Thanks,
we'll
dude.
Talk to you soon.
Thank you, guys, man. Yep.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Nerds!
Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Want to travel like a savvy jet setter? No, that doesn't mean monogramming your passport. It means making smart decisions every step of your trip, which means knowing your options. Smart Travel unpacks the facts, like which booking sites actually save money, how to fly first class using points, and if that fancy travel card is a smart investment, all so you can save more on your next adventure. Follow Smart Travel from NerdWallet today and start traveling like a pro.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
All right, peace. All right, well, you know, we also want to remind you that was Odyssey Sports NBA Insider Danny Green. Remember to check out Inside the Green Room with Danny Green on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast. Hey, big soccer game coming up this weekend in town. You're like, basket, what are you talking about? I'm like, you need to come back and listen to who our next interview is. Darlington Nagbe, pride of Northeast Ohio, plays for the Crew, joins us next right here. Baskin and Phelps with Dan Menigan. Messi will be here, and but so will a guy who will be making a return back home to get to see his hometown crowd. And we're excited to have him on the hotline right now. Darlington Nagbe is on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline. Pride of St. Ed's, pride of Akron, pride of Lakewood. Darlington, thanks for joining us today. We really appreciate you.
How are you, man?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me.
All right, are you pumped to play here? You got a big crowd coming. You got a lot of friends, family. I mean, Columbus isn't that far away, but this is in your backyard.
Yeah, I got a lot of family coming, a lot of friends coming, so I'm looking forward to it.
So you're coming into a bigger stadium than probably what you're used to playing at lower.com field. What's the biggest difference when you step into a larger stadium and see that like second deck, third deck of seats? Does that mess with sight lines or get you any more hyped up and psyched up?
To be honest, I don't really look at that, but I think it's just moments, you know, once the game's paused or after the game when you realize, you know, what just happened, who you played in front of. But I think during the game, you're kind of just locked in and focused on what's going on.
Well, it makes sense, too, because you're used to it with doing national team stuff and going around the world and all of that kind of thing with it. So you immigrated here, grew up in Lakewood. What's the biggest thing you take away from playing at St. Ed's and Northeast Ohio in your game today?
I'll probably say the culture. I think you got a lot of culture in Cleveland. People don't usually associate with Cleveland, but I think the soccer culture, you have guys from everywhere, you know, all different parts of the world and the country that moved to Cleveland. So I think just the culture, use different styles of play.
Darlington, your dad played for pro soccer. How did you end up in Cleveland in the first place?
I think my mom just, you know, she didn't want to continue moving around. So I think she just wanted a steady lifestyle and wanted us to come to the States and go to college and, you know, chase that American dream, if you want to say that. So that's how we ended up in Cleveland. Her brother lived in Cleveland.
Oh, I was going to say, did she take a dartboard and just throw it at a map of the United States? Because, boom, I hit Lakewood. This is where we want to be. No, that's
really
good.
Like winter.
I don't think Cleveland was on her map. We have been to New York a couple of times, you know, so I think it was New York kind of, you know, when you're moving to the States, you just think of New York, you know, California, Florida, like the big states, big cities. But yeah, her brother was living in Cleveland, so that's how we ended up there.
So your uncle was here, so that's how you ended up here. Do you have any great stories, or do you remember like those times playing at St. Ed's and how those how the guys that you played with there? Obviously, they're not at the same level as a national team, but I mean, it's got to be special for those guys to be able to say that they played with you somewhere along the line.
Yeah, definitely. You know, since I came back to Columbus, actually, you know, coming back to Ohio has been special. You know, a lot of guys reached out, former teammates, just former students, even classmates, just friends in general, you know, that were part of my journey at St. Ed's, at Akron, and even when I came back to play against the Crew, having friends come out and check out those games. So it's definitely special to get a chance to play in Cleveland, you know, at the Browns Stadium, growing up a Browns fan. So I'm definitely looking forward to it.
Darlington Nagbe joining us, midfielder for the Columbus Crew on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline, 4:30, Inter-Miami, Columbus Crew, Huntington Bank Field. Tickets available right now, 4:30 on Saturday, that game is. You brought up Akron. You went to school in Akron. What makes Akron such a great soccer school? Like somewhere to, you know, guys can develop that have found their way all over the place and playing in the MLS and a little bit internationally too. What makes Akron so good for that?
I think when I got there, that's when Caleb Porter had just gotten there from Indiana, who's a powerhouse in soccer. So I think he kind of brought his tradition and his knowledge of the game to Akron. And I think it just took off from there. You know, won a national championship, we were number one for a couple of years while I was there. And that's continued since he's left. You know, he really established his style. And Coach Embick, who's there now, has really taken over and done a great job with that as well.
What is that style? What makes a coach better than another coach?
I don't know if I want to say better, but I think the ones that I've seen that are successful are the ones that are looking really, you know, get the group to kind of put their ideas to bring their ideas to life, you know. So I think the thing as a coach, you have a plan, you have a game plan, and you want your team to play a certain way, but not everyone can get the team to believe in it and to get the team to perform that way. So I think the coaches that get the opportunity to have their team perform how they want them to perform and really buy in, those are the great coaches that, you know, are successful, in my opinion.
So, Darlington, you're 34. The crew, I think, started, I'm trying to remember what year, like 90, maybe they were 5 years old when they started or 4 years old. It was right after the 94 Cup. So you've had the crew for your whole life, essentially. And just your thoughts on being an MLS player and what it means even just to be back in Ohio, let alone playing in Cleveland on Saturday.
No, you've definitely seen the league growing a lot. You know, even Columbus coming back home in 2020, I believe, to come play for the crew. Even just then until now, it's the changes that have happened. You know, the Haslins buying over the team with the Edwards family, you know, new training facility, new stadium downtown. So you've seen all these changes, you know. And on top of that, you had a successful team that's won two MLS Cups and a couple other trophies and international trophies. So you're really kind of seeing soccer grow, not just, you know, in MLS in the country, but also here in Columbus.
Darlington Nagbe joining us from the midfielder for the Columbus Crew, taking on Inter Miami at Huntington Bank Field Saturday, 4:30. Tickets are still available to go see that if you want to see Darlington and the rest of the crew go up against Lionel Messi and Inter Miami. So what's the biggest difference this season between you played for Caleb Porter multiple times. Wilfred Nancy comes in. What's the biggest difference between the two of those guys?
Obviously both successful. You know, I think maybe the biggest difference is, you know, style of play, I should say. You know, but like I said, there's more than one way to win. There's more than one way to be successful. Caleb won two MLS Cups with two different teams. And then Wilfried's been here. You know, he's been successful the 3 years we've been here and won championships as well. But I'd say the biggest difference is style of play. You know, we're a lot more possession-based, keeping the ball a lot more in the way that we attack, you know, since Wilfried's been here.
Hey, what advice would you have for a kid growing up in Northeast Ohio that would try to, you know, just have the goal of making it to your level? I remember in the beginning it was Brad Friedel, who was probably the biggest name that came out of Northeast Ohio to come back. And, you know, he played in the Premier League and then came back and played for the crew. And to have the dreams that you and Brad were able to share. And how do you get there from Northeast Ohio? How hard is that road?
It's like it's changed now since I was younger. I think the route, you know, I took was going to college and taking that route, getting drafted, being a top pick and performing, you know, in college, whereas now you've got other ways. Now you can go to college and take that route, you know, perform and do well there, be a part of a good team and get drafted. Or, you know, we have academy systems, kind of like, you know, baseball kind of have to have their, I don't know what you call it, triple A, double A, single A teams. Mm-hmm. But now we have kind of those teams with the youth where they can try and join teams that way. But in terms of your skills and development, I'll say as many touches as possible, or, you know, repetition, you know, whether it's organized or not organized, you know, finding ways just to be around a game, be around the ball, watching, just learning, getting educated on the game.
You've been in MLS for a good period of time now. What's the biggest difference from when you first got into the league to where the league has evolved to now?
I would definitely say talent, you know, has been a big difference. Exposure, you know, guys that are coming in and out of the league. And I think before, you know, it was, I don't know how big of a destination it was for players, but now you really see young guys, you know, coming into this league and taking their career to the next level. And then you see guys, you know, like Messi, for example, coming to the league and performing and making the MLS known on a global stage.
We found out yesterday we're going to get a women's pro team once the new league comes about. Your thoughts of not only the growth of the game here in the States, but the growth for the women too, I think it's been really exciting.
Yeah, it has been. I got a daughter. She's 11. So just seeing that take off is definitely special for me. You know, she loves soccer. She's a huge soccer fan. She plays. So hopefully I get a chance to bring her to some games. But the women's game in this country, you know, what the women's national team does, and then, you know, the NWSL in their league, and then how much exposure they're getting. It's fun, not just for the women's game, I think, but just for the game in general.
Does she got the pink braids going for Trinity Rodman yet? Has she gotten that far?
Nah, she didn't get that far yet. She's,
okay.
She's a Sophia Smith fan, so.
Oh, that's understandable. That's understandable.
Yeah, yeah.
God, she could finish. Triple Espresso was something to behold. I hope those three get back together again and play, because that was so much fun up front watching them.
It was.
Just unstoppable.
Mm-hmm.
Darlington, last question for me. Just thoughts on playing against Messi, this game against Miami coming up on Saturday. Your thoughts on the game?
Yeah, what's it like lining up against legends? Like, that blows me away with this. If I was, like, looking like across and there's Messi or Zlatan or one of those other guys who are just international legends.
No, it's definitely, for me, it's a great experience. obviously being in the league such a long time and seeing players of that caliber, that quality, you know, like you said, legends of the game coming to MLS and performing and taking the game to different heights is definitely, it's definitely cool to see. And then playing against them is always I feel like the first time is always special, you know, but then I think once you kind of see them a little bit more, you know, you kind of look at the game as you know, you're here to compete, you're here to win, but it'll definitely be a cool experience. But I'm excited for, you know, friends and family and people in Cleveland to check him out also if they haven't before.
All right, well, we're all set. Darlington, you need to give a shout-out to anybody in Cleveland, or are they all going to be at the game? You'll be able to give them a shout-out in person.
They'll all be at the game. I just want to shout-out Cleveland, Lakewood, Akron, yeah, just Ohio.
Sounds good. Darlington, thanks. We'll be rooting for you on Saturday as well. So thank you for taking the time for joining us.
This is excellent, man. Thank you.
Appreciate you guys. Thank you.
Thank you. Appreciate you. Darlington Nagbe, Columbus Crew, will be here at Huntington Bank Field Saturday at 4:30. They take on Messi. Inter Miami will be the team that they're playing. That's who Messi plays for. So it should be a lot of fun. You're saying, are you going to go down? Well, normally you would go down and tailgate. And
I'm gonna try to get down and tailgate and do all that good stuff and see the match. It's going to be a really good time.
I'm Emma Greed, and I'm the host of the Aspire podcast, a show where I talk to the world's most brilliant minds about building the life of your dreams. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Greed, an Odyssey podcast, available now wherever you get your podcasts.